Joe Patrick here, our Falcons insider here at 92.9 The Game. Of course, Falcons had OTAs yesterday. We'll get to that in a minute, Joe. Thank you for being
here.
Before we get to that, we've been talking about burner accounts on social media.
Yes.
Do you happen to have one?
Oh, hell yes, he has one.
I absolutely have a burner
account. Yeah.
I knew it.
I bet you solely tweet about soccer.
It's Pojatric.
Right. What's your name?
Well, it wouldn't be a burner account if I gave away
the name. I was trying to trick you.
He can't give it away.
Put yourself
out there. Literally zero people in the world know about my burner account.
Well,
I admit that I have one, but nobody actually knows how to find me on there.
I
can't follow the same people on both my accounts because that's when you get in real trouble.
The algorithm will take over.
I don't even use the other account honestly to tweet at all. I just kind of use it to read stuff because I don't want to read certain stuff on my work account. So that's
damn. What kind of stuff are you reading?
I was gonna say
it's stuff that I.
You know what?
I'm not gonna say the guy's name, but there is somebody that probably needs one that I'm thinking.
Oh, I know a couple people that should really be having a burner account to like and
people.
Read the stuff that they do.
I'm gonna have to ask off air who you're referring to.
And the thing is, it's not like I can't say it. I just don't want to put him on blast because everything he does is public on Twitter. It's like, dude, calm down.
Well, if you need an extra one, Joe, I did ask ChatGPT, and it suggested a Quiet on the Nest for you since you're our Falcons insider.
I like that.
That's like fancy branding.
Yes,
that's awesome.
And like we talked about earlier, Dylan brought it up. It was like some of these are just straight up fantasy team names. You know what
they
I mean?
Are. Yeah. Or podcast names.
When I first started here, I talked to Mike Bell, and he was like, you know, I was like a young reporter, whatever. Not young, but he was like, you got to come up with a brand. You got to be like Joey Balls. That's what he recommended.
Squidbilly.
I mean, he gave me Squidbilly, and I hated it for a while. And then all of a sudden, that's actually, I was like, why is no one following me on Twitter? And a buddy of mine was like, shout out to Mark Bettino, who used to work promotions. He was like, what's your name on there? I said, Bo Morgan. He's like, nobody knows who the hell Bo Morgan is.
Right, yeah.
But Squidbilly. And I did, and all of a sudden I got followers. I was like, damn it.
Good idea.
Now I'm stuck.
I got Smoking Joe from Randy. Randy.
There you go.
And that just stuck.
Yeah.
But that's good. That's Joey Balls is dumb. Smoking Joe.
I agree.
Is good.
I think I got the good one.
That's exactly what Joe Holly's nickname was in the locker room. Smoking Joe Holly.
Oh really?
Yeah. Smoking Joe Holly.
Nice.
Well, Joe, last year up at Flowery Branch, I know you were out there yesterday.
Yep.
But last year, everybody was talking about the vibes. Everyone was so excited. Kirk Cousins had just arrived. A little bit different situation this year.
Mm-hmm.
We have Michael Penix now. So what was the vibe check yesterday? Is everyone still just as excited?
Yeah, I think absolutely people are excited. And, it's kind of funny. I feel like it was a little bit of a downer because if you look outside this weather we've got, it was cold, dreary. And it just kind of, I think, made for a little difficult day, especially on offense for, Michael Penix. I will just say I thought he was pretty sloppy, as inaccurate, I guess, as I've seen him before. But it's not like I've seen him throw a ton. But it's also the first day of OTAs. And so you don't know if it's even him or if it's, potentially receivers not hitting landmarks and that kind of thing. But overall, I think that just it's still a very positive vibe out there. I don't want anybody to think that like things were down because of that. I think that everybody's excited. And obviously, you've got these young rookies that I think are injecting a lot of kind of energy into the whole process.
No, I heard you, right? You just said Michael Penix to have sophomore slump.
Honestly, I was literally about to say it's refreshing to hear a bit of honesty because so many times we get caught in these offseason narratives where it's like, Kyle Pitts going off.
Right, exactly.
Drake London 2,000 yards receiving. Like, Kirk Cousins is just a game changer. And then you see them hit the field in week 1 against Pittsburgh last year, and you're like, what in God's name are we looking at? Like, what just happened?
Yeah.
So it is almost nice to hear a little bit of honesty come out in that. And to your point, like, it just happens. Sometimes in the OTAs, in day number one, that kind of comes to fruition. And we talked all day about Darnell Mooney, some of the cuts from Darnell Mooney yesterday, talking about his relationship with Michael Penix. Is there anybody else that, like, I don't want to say stands out at this point because that's just stupid to ask after one OTA, but like, is there conversation happening amongst the media members where it's like, oh man, we got to go focus on this person?
Well, I mean, it's always Bijan is like the player that you want to be watching just because he's so fun to watch as a like if he's doing a drill, it doesn't even matter. Like if it's a team play, whatever it is, he's just so exciting to watch athletically. But I think like as far as Penix goes in the passing game, I think everybody's really excited about Drake. Obviously, I mean, he is going to be the superstar for this team, and I really truly do think that. I mean, he broke out last year, was fourth in the NFL in receiving yards, but. I think it's, onwards and upwards for him with a guy like Michael Penix at the helm. Because you can really tell Penix is very willing to just launch that ball downfield. Like, there were a couple plays where, you know, the play's kind of breaking down a little bit, and he's just willing to throw it deep, and knowing that there's nobody back there except for maybe his own guy can get back there. And it's not necessarily that those are going to be completed, but I think it just gives Penix, London, Mooney, opportunities to make some of these big plays. And something Mooney said was that he actually wants more house call type plays.
Yeah, like we played it earlier.
Yeah, he had
three broken tackles, he said. I'm like, sign me up, dude.
That's, exactly. That's sign what you want to hear from your receivers.
What the hell did Darnell Mooney mean when you said his villain era? You said, Joe tweeted this yesterday real quick. Yeah. If you can go to Smoking Joe Patrick on Twitter. Now, it says, this is at J.A. Patrick 200 on Twitter. And he said, y'all gave him the nice guy award for the media. Every year you give the award.
Yep.
He goes, yeah, I gave it. Y'all gave me that in my villain era. Like what? And I love Darnell. We interviewed Darnell.
Yeah,
and he's great.
Second year high school.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is he really?
No, that's where we interviewed.
Okay. No, I'm right, saying right, that's where we interviewed.
He exists.
No, he's actually from Oxford, Alabama.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of funny because that's like, it just, that goes to show Darnell's sense of humor. You know, he's like clearly tried to get us. And maybe his villain era, is that like his NWO style, year?
Hollywood Hogan.
Exactly.
We need to give him a black and white Squid Nation shirt. You know? I hope he stays in. He had 1,000 yards last year.
Well, I thought it was cool what he said about like, I'm not here for 1,000 yards, because that was obviously what was like at first asked, you know, because I'm sure it's disappointing for a receiver. And he didn't seem all that disappointed at all. He's just like not really focused on that whatsoever, which I think is exactly what you want to hear if you're a Falcons fan.
We are talking with Joe Patrick, 92.9 The Game, Falcons insider. There is obviously the conversation about the absences yesterday. Kirk Cousins not in the building. Kyle Pitts not in the building. Caleb McGarry, Ray McLeod. I'm curious from your standpoint, and we're going to get to what those mean in just a minute, but from your standpoint, is it just simply where you walk out there and you start doing a head count and you're like, wow, Kirk's not here? Or is there like a whisper around the building where like a David Bassey's like, hey, just so y'all know, Caleb McGarry's absence, excuse. You know, what's the process of you understanding at that point, wow, Kirk's not in the building?
Yeah, the way we find out these things are you either ask the coach before practice starts or you walk outside and, you start taking attendance. You know, you just go through the list. You've got your roster every time you go out there and you just start
looking. Supposed to be 90. I'm only counting 85.
Right, what exactly, exactly. Well, it's easier, too, when they break out into their position groups. And, for example, Kyle Pitts, it's like there's only a handful of tight ends out there. Yeah. Pretty easy to see that he's not involved. So, that's typically how we find out.
Well, with those four that were missing yesterday, who does this give an opportunity to? Like, who is taking their reps?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, honestly, people probably don't think about it that much, but like for the offensive linemen, I think it's good for Storm Norton to get some reps, you know, because Caleb McGarry was one of the players who's not there. So for Storm Norton, he's going to be an important player for this team,
I think.
Jack Nelson, obviously a rookie. He wasn't playing with the first teamers, of course. But I think it just gives, in general, guys to get some opportunities. Charlie Warner, obviously, taking the mantle at tight end yesterday with Kyle Pitts not being there. And I think that's... honestly, you know, probably a piece at tight end that they feel like is maybe they can get more utility out of down to down than they can with Kyle. They can certainly do some things with Kyle and get some mismatches, but what with the blocking and kind of the gadget piece that Charlie Warner can be, I think that he's going to take advantage of his
Jack
time
of all
out there
trades.
For sure. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Should the Falcons have Kirk Cousins? And I'm just kidding. I can't do any more Kirk Cousins crap. I mean, well, that stuff is acknowledging.
It was Pitts that really kind of got people worked up. The fact that
should've.
He wasn't there. Yeah. And I will say, Penix said that he's been throwing with Pitts this offseason, so it's not like he's just been totally absent. And Penix has said that he looks good. But I should also say that there's no one until the players get back and we can ask them. No one really knows. In fact, the club is not even allowed, per the CBA, to ask the players why they're not at these activities, because they are purely voluntary.
Let's talk about somebody that was there, though. And I just wanted to have fun with that, because if I hear Kirk Cousins on this radio station one more time, I might drive into a brick wall. But in all seriousness, Ryan Neuzel was there.
He was.
Now, he's not signed yet, but he was there. Talk about how he can be there and what team he was working with yesterday.
Yeah, so, I mean, not only was he there, but, I mean, he was in full uniform, practicing with the first teamers. He was the starting center for this team, and that's what he will be this season. The situation with him is that while he's not under contract with the Falcons, he is under tender. So basically what that means is that he can't really technically sign for any other team, and ultimately he kind of will need to either land on the Falcons or not play football, which is not going to happen. I have to think that one of the reasons why he hasn't signed that contract yet is because he knows he's going into a year being the starter. He's been kind of a reserve his whole career, and I'm sure he might want some guaranteed money, some more years on that contract to just give himself a little bit of a buffer, a little bit of a reward, honestly, for ascending to this level in his career. But it will get worked out. I have no doubt about that, judging by the fact that he filed paperwork with the league. I think it's called a medical waiver that allows him to actually participate with the team despite not being on the roster.
Yeah. Finishing up here with 92.9 The Game's Falcons insider Joe Patrick. Is there anybody that stood out as in terms of like playing up or down a group? I think that's one of the biggest things. Like it used to be kind of a head turner, even for us on the field, when you walk out and you look at the defensive group and one of the guys who that you're in the rookie locker room with maybe steps in and gets a rep with the first guys back in the secondary or something. You're like, oh, wow. Hey, that guy's back there getting a rep with the ones, man. Check that out. Anybody like that yesterday?
Yeah. There was one rookie that basically got any time with the other veterans, the first teamers, and that was Jalen Walker, the team's first overall pick. Although he wasn't like starter. It was Zach Harrison and Leonard Floyd were the starters kind of on the edge, at least in their nickel packages, which is basically only what I saw them in.
I was going to say, that's what you're going to start with this day and age anyways,
yeah,
right?
And so there was a rep where I believe both the edges jumped off sides. It wasn't Zach Harrison, though. I think it was maybe have been Arnold Ebikadie. I know Leonard Floyd is one of them. They got those guys out of there. And Jalen Walker was one of the ones who got the run in to take his place.
Let me nerd out for a second.
He was looking big, by the way.
Let me nerd out for a second. Who was the quarterback that got him to jump off sides?
Ooh, you know what? That's a good question.
If Michael Penix is getting those veterans to jump off sides, I'm like, yes!
Right, yes! Yeah.
And we know it wasn't Kirk, so.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. I wish I would have known.
Check that out.
Looked out for that.
No, we ain't got time for no more.
Oh, well,
it's 54.
I thought you were going to fit it in. Anyways.
No.
Joe, what's the upcoming OTA schedule? Like, when are they back on the field? How many times a week? When will we get minicamp?
So we'll be back there. I mean, they'll be there, obviously, throughout the week, but we media will only be able to get there about once a week. That's the media schedule. So we'll be back there again next Monday or Tuesday, again early next week, kind of similar to this week.
And how many – what's the set number, real quick? Now I do have another coach. We were talking about that. I saw like minicamp was like 9 or 10, I think. Is that it? Is there only like 10 of those of the OTAs? It used to be Mike thought when he played there was like 14.
I thought it was a little bit more, baby.
14
I might
dates.
Be wrong about
Gosh,
that.
I'm, you know, it's a great question. I'm not sure. I just know that like media doesn't have access to every single OTAs. Mm-hmm. And
right.
So I believe that next week will be OTAs. And then I think the week after that is when minicamp will begin, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's the 8th or 9th. Somewhere.
Well, hopefully we can have you back next week
absolutely.
Or in the near future. Appreciate you hanging out with us.
He's in studio now a lot. We get
to see him whenever you guys want.
Telling you, I saw him a couple weeks ago walking here. I was like, we need to get him in the studio.
He's got a cool Braves hat, too.
I just said the same thing a minute ago when he walked in. I said, I wish my big head fit in hats like that, man. I'd rock the crap out of that hat. Anyways.